Let us pray. God forgives and calls all of us to confess our fears and failings with honesty and humility. God reconciles and calls us to repent the part we have played in damaging our world, ourselves, and each other. God transforms and calls us to protect the vulnerable, to pray for deliverance from evil, to work with God for the healing of the world, that all might have abundant life. In the words of our song of faith, we sing of grace. Amen. I wrestled with this sermon. I wrestled with this week. I have written and rewritten this sermon over in my head more times than I think I ever have before. The more I wrote, the angrier I got, the more fed up with injustices in the world, and the more pessimistic I became. My plan for today had been to talk about reconciliation, why we've been having these conversations about right relations with Indigenous people, and about the hope for the future, possible practical steps forward, looking at questions of what we can do for the work of reconciliation. And then last Sunday happened, and for the first time in longer than I can remember, I didn't listen to the news on my way into church. And Mark lifted a prayer for people affected by the mass shooting in Orlando the previous night. I know that GLBTQ rights are still a work in progress, especially in parts of the United States, but I had allowed myself to slip into comfort, not remembering how dangerous it can be. As the story continues to dominate the news cycle, we are reminded that people affected by this are not just the families of the murdered and those who will forever live with the experience of being in that nightclub, but that members of the LGBTQ community and their allies around the world have spoken out this week, naming their fear. It's an unfortunate reminder for us that when we pray for those affected, we have no idea how far that reaches. It also reminds us that those hurts, that kind of violence and oppression and fear, stretch through time and place. That is why we need to do the work of reconciliation. I am proud to be a part of the United Church of Canada with its history and advocacy for the GLBTQ community. But I know that support isn't church-wide and that that work is far from done. And I am equally horrified to be a part of a church with a history that includes residential schools and systemic violence and oppression of Indigenous people. I carry that responsibility. Of course, I wasn't there and I didn't make the decisions or carry out the centuries of acts of oppression. But as a person who feels called to life in the United Church of Canada, I am responsible for making amends. You hear me talk about our God of love a lot. That is the tradition that I live in. That our God is a God of love. But our Christian history is complicated and interpretations are varied. Today we heard two scriptures that give us pause to reflect. Jacob is one of the twins born of Isaac and Rebekah. Always striving for more, he tricks his twin Esau out of his birthright and his blessing and has to flee from his brother. Jacob's not a really good guy. We talk about him in our history as being the father of Israel, but let's be honest, he is not what we would call a good guy. He puts his desire for blessing ahead of his relationship with his family. And there is a cost for his treachery. And now Jacob is returning home and wants to reconcile with his brother, but he is afraid that his brother will not forgive him. On the eve of his meeting with Esau, he has gone away, sent his family and servants ahead in hopes of protecting them. And he spends the night wrestling with a man that we read into the story as God. This passage is short, but it paints a picture for each of us. We fill in some of those details, but at the end of the story, Jacob demands a blessing from the man that he interprets as God. I think the idea that we can wrestle with God and be changed in name and body as Jacob was is a powerful idea. In fact, I think any time we engage with God, we can be changed and be blessed. But like that all-night wrestle, engaging with God is never easy. Taking our preconceptions and our biases and allowing the God of love to wrestle them away, leaving us only with love, is a spiritual discipline, and it's a discipline worth doing. We will limp away from those experiences with a fresh view, and most importantly, with the blessing of God's love for us and the opportunity to share that love with the world. A reading from Galatians reminds us that we are all one in Christ. There is no place for arbitrary distinctions between people, no us versus them in our faith. When we think we are superior to others, we are not living as a part of the body of Christ. When we allow a society that values money more than lives, and who tells us we should care more about the distinctions between the groups of people than the people themselves, we are swayed from the community that God calls us to. Not only do we individually need to stand against this thinking, we need to speak against it. As the church, as Canadians, there can be no place for divisiveness in our lives. And that is why we, the church, have named our support for GLBTQ community, and why we push our legislators to enact laws to protect them, and why we ordain gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered clergy. And that is why we, the church, work for reconciliation, why we apologize for our history, and why we offer welcome and repentance to our Indigenous populations. I have seen our passage from Galatians lived out in that work this week. In the days following the violence in Orlando, I saw our faith of unity in the overwhelming calls for calm, the offers of support, the coming together of the GLBTQ and Muslim communities over Ramadan meals and pride parades. I saw that scripture lived out in the UN Security Council's condemnation of the violence, the first time they had done so for a crime against GLBTQ people. I saw this scripture lived out firsthand a year ago with the thousands of people who marched at the conclusion of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, walking together in solidarity and in support and in demand of change. But this passage should be central to our faith, should be more prominent in our living out of our Christianity. We need to do a better job. It starts with each and every one of us. It is not enough to say that we want to work for reconciliation, but when Native people are ready to meet us, or when they stop drinking and get their lives together. Love needs to be offered to people where people are at without judgment. To live out our passage from Galatians, we can engage. We have to engage. We can attend a full blanket exercise or a reading of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. There's one tomorrow night at Christ Church Cathedral on Spark Street. We can learn about the Free the Falls movement here in the city. And we can petition leaders to live into their commitment to enact the Truth and Reconciliation Commission recommendations. You could attend the Affirm AGM and learn about how the church can welcome and embrace the GLBT community intentionally. You could attend a Pride event. Come out to the Pride Parade in August to watch or to walk. So often we see Pride parades as parties, a big celebration of sexuality, but the reminder this week around the world is that a pride parade is a protest and a colorful demand that the GLBTQ community need to have safe places to live and to love. And each and every one of us can reach out to people we know in the Indigenous community and the GLBTQ community, and we can tell them that we love them. And we love them for who they are. And nothing will stop that. I saw a number of posts online this week in the wake of the Orlando shooting that left me thinking. One said, "This is what hating the sin looks like." Recognizing the approach that so many churches take with love the sinner, hate the sin, it draws attention to the fact that that approach just isn't Christian. Because living love is never sin. Because in Christ, we are all one. And when one of us hurts from systemic oppression, years of violence, fear, we all hurt. As we named in our apology to Indigenous people, we tried to make you be like us, and in doing so, we helped to destroy the vision that made you what you were. As a result, you and we are poorer, and the image of the Creator in us is twisted, blurred, and we are not what we are meant by God to be. When we reach out in love, we can all love and be loved. And after that, after our wrestling, is the blessing that God offers to each and every one of us. I leave you with a blessing that was the other post that I saw that hit me this week. Like our scripture from Galatians, we would do well to live it every day. May God give you grace to never sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is too small for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love.